97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Get me there.
I was in an old school mood today. It's a little Edwin Starr for
Love
you.
It.
25 Miles, great song. Alex Rich is here from Y98. Let's see if I know what microphone to turn on because everything is changing
in our temporary studio.
I can. Testing 1, 2, 3. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. We have a lot to cover.
I don't think I've got to tell you congratulations on becoming a grandpa. I mean, other than over the text, right?
Right.
We haven't seen you in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Well, we will get all caught up, and I know we have some music stuff that we want to talk about here in a few minutes. But I wanted to get into this before Sue's news. We got the Hall of Famer in the studio, Fred, as well, with Sue and Alex and I. The whole situation with Jordan Chiles, because I wasn't as dialed into this as I should have been. We talked about it, Sue, during the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So if you remember correctly, she didn't think she had a medal, and then all of a sudden she was the winner of the bronze medal.
Correct.
But then they took it away from her, right?
Yep.
So this is interesting because here's how I'll break it down. John Sexton did a good job on this, kind of explaining it.
It's the floor exercise.
Yeah. So she's the last competitor in the floor exercise final in Paris. She bounced up on the first landing. She landed short on her last, and she finished in fifth. Mm-hmm. But Cecil Landy, who's the head coach for the U.S., noticed that the judges had given her a lower-than-required difficulty score, right?
Right.
That score gives a gymnast credit for all of their attempted skills. The more difficult the routine, the higher score. They talk about it during the coverage all the time, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes even in the middle of, I don't think it happens in the floor exercises. Maybe it does. Well, you'll have things that are expected, and maybe the gymnast even backs off and does the safer move or something like that, right? So what happened here is they gave her the wrong score. So essentially, she hit a three-pointer, but she was only given credit for two, is a good way to look at it. So then, as soon as they were informed of their mistake, the judges changed her score, and she goes into third place. She's crying. She's happy. She's a bronze medalist, right? Well, then she's not winning a medal. They take it away from her. But this is the part that I kind of missed. One point that's important, she didn't cheat. Right, there was no cheating here. She actually earned the medal. The judges actually almost cheated her by making a mistake. The coach caught it, and it was corrected. However, now we know this. The Romanian Gymnastics Federation filed an appeal with what's called the CAS, that's the Court of Arbitration for Sport, claiming that the coach for Team USA had made their appeal to the score late. So the coach
had 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Late.
So they're saying that
1 minute to appeal.
Yeah.
The appeal happened 4 seconds late, and because Romania's own gymnast was in fourth place, they get the bronze medal. But here's the problem. Now we have video evidence from different perspectives, and no one has ever argued that the lower score was correct. Everybody knows the judges made the mistake. It wasn't Jordan Chiles, right?
It's only a technicality.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The only issue was whether the appeal of that error came 4 seconds late. Now, look, you can come down and say the rules are the rules, right? You can be a rules are the rules. And that's what the Romanians did. But here's what's interesting. On hand that day in Paris was a film crew that was doing all this for Netflix. They're doing a documentary, how they've done with golf and receiver and quarterbacks. When you look at that video, part of the documentary clearly shows that the appeal was made and heard within the 60-second deadline. So yesterday, it might have been Monday, in federal court, the Supreme Court of Switzerland, Jordan Chiles' attorney submitted the footage from Religion
Good.
Of Sports. Wow. That's the production company that's behind the docuseries that's going to be on ESPN. And they claim it proves the exact time that Landy inquired on Chiles' behalf. So they argue that Landy first stated she'd like an inquiry for Jordan 49 seconds after the result, which falls within the 60 seconds.
Yep.
The footage also shows two technical assistants making eye contact with Landy, nodding to her. So again, she's not just saying she made the appeal. They're acknowledging. You can see them acknowledge it. So they, on hotair.com, they actually have the video. You can see three different angles with the timestamp. The score is announced at 15:31:55. There's a little discussion. The coach says, "What about Jordan? You want to try?" to another coach. She then moves down the floor and says, "Inquire for Jordan," at 15:32:40, 45 seconds. Then she says, "Inquiry for Jordan," at 15:32:48. Both of those are within the 60 seconds. The appeals were not late. So they're asking the court in Switzerland to overturn the decision of the CAS. But keep in mind, they could refuse, just like, you know, our Supreme Court here. I don't know exactly what's going to happen.
I don't know why they would.
Wild.
I mean, if you have the video.
Yeah, but here's something interesting, okay? Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't, it's like the NCAA, so you got to understand, they have so much power, they do what they want to do. And the president of CAS, Hamid Garavi, they say has a serious conflict of interest because the documents claim that he acted as counsel for Romania for nearly a decade and had been an active representative of the nation at the time of this decision. So there's a conflict of interest there, too. We don't know whether the court's going to hear this or any of it, but it is interesting. And poor Jordan Chiles, she did nothing wrong. She is the rightful winner of the bronze medal, but they've robbed her of that. So
Wait a minute. Does she have to hire that lawyer who's going to do that? I mean,
I think U.S. gymnastics is probably going to. Yeah.
I mean, what a mess.
It.
Yeah, I didn't see that, Sue, but I would
say. You have
I would
to get
say,
legal representation to try to get the medal.
Who would think we'd still be having this conversation, you know, months later?
No, I actually, that's baffling when you think about it. All right.
It's kind of, to me, it feels sort of like when you see that, you know, or they show the video of a close play on the baseball field.
Well, yeah,
and it's like obvious to you that the umpire got it wrong. And then they send it to New York, and they come back and say, oh, you know, the call stands. It's like, wait a minute.
Well, and that in baseball, too, as long as you appeal before the next, there's another play, like if there's another pitch or if there's any other play, you got to, like, make it quick. So, I mean, in baseball, it's probably about that minute time frame as well, but.
Well, it's probably less than that. Yeah.
For sure.
All right, let's do this here.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, this has some music, Mark. I hope this works in here. But on this day in history, 48 years ago, that's 1976.
Oh,
friend.
I'm not going to want to miss this one. Now that I see what it is,
yeah,
are you
baby.
Kidding?
This song.
It's not just music. It's play that funky music. There you go. Playing in a rock and roll band. I love it.
Woo, I love it too. This is 1976. Wild Cherries, Play That Funky Music, hit number one on the charts.
Yeah, this song.
Alex, you do this one when you're performing?
I honestly haven't, but every time you hear it, it is one of those ones where you got to add it to the playlist because who won't dance to this?
Right? I don't have this on the bumper music rotation. I may have to change that. Yeah. This is a good one for sure. I remember every word of this, just like every other song from 40 years ago, and I can't remember what happened this morning.
Right.
It's a little racist, though, I would say.
Maybe
a racist song. I might have to flag that. I'm not sure. Yeah, they are talking to me.
But in all seriousness, what would it be like if a song like this came out today?
There's a bunch of songs that I wonder about. Look, I got to tell you something. I almost said this to Paul Morrow in the last hour. I am, you know how I would go back and kind of rewatch shows and stuff like that? I restarted Rescue Me. You guys ever watch that?
Oh, wait a minute.
No, Dennis Leary.
Yeah, that
was great. Set in a firehouse in the aftermath of 9/11.
Not religiously, but I've seen it.
I loved it, but in the first two episodes, there's language and other stuff that happens. And I'm like, oh my God,
well,
I can't believe they got away with it. I'm glad they got away with it, but I did wonder if in this, you know, era, 20 years later, or however long, 23 years later, I guess, you'd get away with that.
I'm back watching, I believe I'm on season, I want to say 4 of Law & Order SVU, and some of the language and some of the terms that they use and throw around just... It blows my mind how it's changed over the years.
Law and Order. Are you going to like binge Chicago Fire next, or what are you?
No, I'm not going to have time.
You're watching the Hallmark Channel, too? What are you doing?
I still got 20 seasons left, man.
Exactly. He can go on forever.
I'm going to be busy the next 2 years.
I do like Mariska Hargitay. I like her.
She's unbelievable as well. It's rare you find somebody that's played one character for 25 years.
You're exactly right.
It's incredible.
And we were talking about this the other day, too. This was before streaming, so these are well-written shows.
Mm-hmm.
Before it got really just everybody writing for everything
diluted.
And streaming and diluted.
Well,
thank you, Fred. That's a word I'm
I will
looking
say
for.
This. I've never gone back to watch the original Law & Order, but I was addicted. We were all addicted to that show.
Right. Dumped them. I mean, you hear that and you're like,
yep, do you know, was this a fact you said maybe last year? Could have been a while ago, but the tones that are in that da-dum.
Yes.
Apparently
yes,
triggers something in dogs' brains
right.
that make them just go, some of them go insane.
Yes, and I told you that the Jeopardy theme did that to one of my dogs 30
you
years
guys,
ago.
I don't think I said something that
made dogs go nuts. I think living with you probably did
nuts.
That to the dog.
No, we were talking about a different,
the
he's not wrong about this, that
yeah.
there's a tone, there's things that will make the dogs kind of react, and
I
was reminded
yes.
of the, I don't know that they'll go crazy, but they, like, Cagney was my dog, who was my ex-wife's dog, and he would howl. He'd hear, like, I told you, one time I was in the backyard doing yard work. Can't believe I did yard work back then. But I could hear howling, and I knew yeah. immediately that the Jeopardy show was on the TV.
Oh, my gosh,
because
that
of that.
Is hysterical.
And he never did it to any other sound that I'm aware of.
It's hysterical.
And also, 41 years ago, I just thought this was funny. It was in 1983 when it was a big deal that Kiss appeared on MTV without their makeup for the first time. Oh, my gosh.
I think that's a huge deal.
It was enormous.
Could Freddie, you recognize them without the makeup?
You know, I watched the video about it. It wasn't good audio to play because they're mm-hmm. just showing their faces. But what they did was show them with makeup, and then they'd show the guy without makeup, and they were all very serious, and here's what I look like. It was just funny.
Yeah, because, you know, if you think back to then, now when I hear Gene Simmons or Peter Criss or you know, any of them, I can see what they really look like in real life.
Yeah.
But back then, we couldn't.
No, you had no idea. I'm sure it was a shock at the time. It's National Cheeseburger Day, Fred.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
great.
Everyone.
Who knew?
82% of Americans say they love them. I don't know who those other people are. Maybe vegetarians.
Like 18% of people don't like cheeseburgers?
I mean, what?
I don't trust those 18%.
Last
they
got
to be vegetarian.
Last hour in New York City, President Trump was at a Bitcoin bar. And they mentioned that it was Cheeseburger Day. And he was really excited. He's like, well, we got to get some of those. It was great.
Because he's an American. That's why
right,
we love our cheeseburgers.
I thought this was, well, I'll mention Garth Brooks first. Garth Brooks just announced that his Las Vegas residency is coming to an end next year. His final shows will be 3 weekends between February 21st and March 9th. If you want to go see him, it's Garth Brooks Plus One, and it's currently taking place at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace for the rest of the year. And he says he can't believe it's come and gone. He has really loved it. It's been one of his favorite gigs so far. Tickets for next year's final residency go on sale tomorrow. So I'm just bringing this.
I would say the only miss there is, and good for Caesar's locking him down to the contract, but I think he would have been a really, really interesting act to see at Sphere.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm, yeah.
By the way, do you see what they used that for over the weekend? And this is another model. They had a UFC fight, and it was a ginormous event. They hosted the fight at Sphere, yeah. So you're going to see more
see
of that.
From all angles. That's kind of
you
funny.
You know, when Rick and I were talking when Sphere was being built years and years ago, when, you know, there was a lot of confusion as far as what they were going to do, because at first we didn't know what the plan was. There were a lot of rumors about an NBA team being, you know, hosted there. It would seem like it would be an odd arena for something like that, the way that it's, you know, shaped.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they might use it for boxing, and I don't know, what other sport could they use that wouldn't have to have a crowd on all sides?
Every time you say stuff like that, I think, who was planning the Sphere? They didn't think about this in advance?
They did. I'm sure they did, but they didn't let everyone know exactly what their plans were. And I think they're still kind of trying to be creative.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, since I have jury duty coming up on October the 8th, for the 8 millionth time. Thank you. I live in the city.
On a Friday.
On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. Friend. On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
Okay.
This story stuck out to me. I thought this was really cute. David Letterman showed up for jury duty in New York on Monday. Now, it was a cryptocurrency case. He did not get chosen. Shocker. But we did learn a little bit about him. It was kind of funny. They, you know, they interview you for these things. And they asked, what, sir, is it that you do for a living? And he says he's, quote, currently working for a company called Netflix.
Ah, yeah.
They
is that
say,
what he said?
Yeah, that's
I
what he
it.
Said. They said, as for a spouse or significant other, he said, quote, I've had both. Currently, I just have the spouse.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love him so much. Asked what he likes to watch. He said sports. Quote, I'm happy football is here. I'm happy it's time. It's this time in baseball season. I like motorsports. I pretty much like what most Americans watch on TV. I remember footage of him on the Mr. Gary show that showed him at Worldwide Technology Raceway a couple years ago.
Oh,
so
really?
He does like that sort of thing. And since he's from Indiana, the judge asked him if he's into the Colts. He said, quote, big Colts fan. 0-2, but still a fan. And asked if he's ever been called for jury duty. Letterman said, been called many times, just couldn't make it happen. I just loved that.
Have you been called in St. Louis County, Fred or Alex?
Yes, I have.
I never have.
Oh, you have, Fred? Did you get on?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was asked questions, but always let go. Huh.
So I think I was called. I lived in the city from about 2007 to, I would guess, would be about 2012, and I think I was called twice. And then I lived in Jeffco for a little bit. Don't remember getting called there. Maybe I did and just had to, you know, say I couldn't do it. But then I don't remember ever being called in St. Louis County.
Oh, well, good.
Last 8 years.
Yeah, they Jinx. Like me. Yeah, Jinx is right. I was a foreman.
But doesn't working for the media get you out of something?
You know, you would assume that, but it's not
the case.
It's
not
the case.
Is
that not?
Yeah, I mean,
I always tell people that that's why I've never been.
It's not the case.
Uh-uh, that isn't.
Now, if you say you're a racist or a Nazi or something like that, it might get you out of it. But
you
then,
know, but you watch
you
people.
You might have other issues.
I've watched people try to say stuff like that, and not racist stuff. But you can see them say stuff that's made up, and pretty much they'll say, no, that's.
Yeah, the judges see through that.
Yeah.
They've got experience.
Exactly. They don't play that. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. I pulled this one out for you guys. Okay, a football player named Bobby Singh, it's S-I-N-G-H, won a Super Bowl with the St. Louis Rams in 2000, and an XFL championship with the LA Extreme in 2001, and a CFL championship in 2006 with the BC Lions. No other player has ever won all three.
Wow, I didn't
it's
know
kind
that.
Of a nice
that's
little cool. piece of trivia, yeah. even is though that, I can't pronounce his name.
And congrats to him. But do we think that's is that an accomplishment? I guess it's an accomplishment, but that means he slowly...
Yeah, deteriorated as a player.
Slowly, yeah, backed off from the NFL.
I think what it means is he sucked in all three leagues, but he somehow glommed on to good teams. I'm not sure. I got to go out with this, don't you think? We're coming back with more. Hang in there.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
Hanging out here on a Wednesday afternoon, we always visit with Alex Rich from Y98, who's with us in the studio with Sue and Fred, the Hall of Famer. You went to the University of Indiana. You get to do something pretty. I have a sports story to share here that's pretty cool, but I thought we'd mention your trip to Bloomington. What is it, this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to Bloomington this weekend, and that's because my best friend, Victor Oladipo, NBA star, all-star, two-time all-star. Give him the credit twice.
Number two pick in the NBA draft.
Yep,
the
number
year that
two
he went, right?
In the 2013 draft. He's getting inducted this weekend to the Indiana University Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, which
well,
is a bizarre
that's
deal.
Really cool. Yeah,
yeah, you got to think, you know, he's in there with Bobby Knight, Isaiah Thomas, Mark Spitz, you know, a bunch of others. But
Mark Spitz,
yeah, I guess
that's
I didn't
awesome.
Realize that one. That's cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's you know, it's a small list, but I think it's a huge honor. So they're doing a dinner for him on Friday night and then honoring him on the football fields at halftime on Saturday.
You know, perhaps he'd like to spend a little quality time around the drive up there. You could put him on the horn with Fred so Fred can
maybe
get some
so.
Tips into, you know, the Hall of Fame. He's the only Hall of Famer
well,
in the room,
about
Alex.
It, yeah.
So
no, I get it, yeah.
There's common ground there.
I don't think, you know, you're certainly not going to be
no.
a first ballot, second ballot,
no,
third.
No. Hey, I'm in.
Hey,
here's one thing I noticed.
High school.
Yeah, and you
yeah,
know what,
there
Fred?
You go.
I'll tell you what, you know, because I got the mailer from the Parkway School District last week about the new Hall of Fame for this year. And, you know, they want you to buy a table. And so I usually write big checks, $10,000, $20,000 to Parkway on a regular basis. But you know who's going in this year from my class, the class of 1983? I beat him in there.
No.
Chip Carey.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Aw, that's great.
Late to the game, Chip. What can I say?
They had to bring him back to St. Louis first.
No, here's the
exactly,
deal.
You know, exactly, Alex.
So you know the connection here. Let me tell you how these things work, okay? So Ann Steffens, who you worked with at Channel 4,
yes.
Ann's great. She worked for me many years ago, and she went to work for the Archdiocese, and she does you know, her own stuff now with PR, consulting, et cetera. But this is one of those situations where Ann kind of got involved, and I can kind of share this story, but I think we'll probably move on because I did think that was kind of funny. Let's talk about what happened in Mizzou. I don't want to get off track.
I'm
here.
Sorry. What? Did she help you get in? Is that what you're saying?
She did because what happens is you have to have someone with you. So she got in, and I said, wait a second. how do you get in? And then she had to write. There was a process. You got to write all these things out and stuff like that.
Gosh.
So then I made the deal. This gets long and winded. Why I wanted to skip over. Brad Schiff, who's a friend of mine, his dad used to be a news anchor in St. Louis many years ago. Brad works for Leica Studios in Portland, Oregon, which is a great stop motion animation. So one time he was on the show. We were doing this at Ballpark Village, Fred.
Right.
And I think we both realized that we were not in the Parkway Hall of Fame at that time. I think I was joking about it, right? And I said, look, if I get in before you, I'm going to nominate you. If you get in before me, and then I got in somehow. It was, you know, an oversight.
Yeah,
because
string.
She wrote out all the paperwork.
Right.
We had to get together one day, and all this stuff had to become official, but I went through it because, you know, I had a huge ego, and I wanted to be in there. Right. But then I did the same thing for Brad because I agreed to do it, and I went through it's not actually not easy. You have to go.
Wow.
It's easy to get into the Hall of Fame. It's not easy to apply for the Hall of Fame.
Interesting.
So Columbia, Missouri. Let me talk about this. We should have probably tried to get the guy on the air here, but in lieu of that, that's on me, Fred. In lieu of that, I have to share this story. Producer Emeritus Dave Klein sent this yesterday. Columbia was featured over the weekend, SEC, because of the football game against Boston College. And they're at a bar. Let's see if this was before the game. The story reads this way. Jack Foster heard the sound of bar stools scraping across the floor, Columbia, Missouri. The commotion came from behind him. At first, he thought it might have been a fight breaking out. And then his wife's name is Heather, oh my God, Jack, that guy's choking. So this is Bud's Classic Barbecue in downtown Columbia. I've never been there. I know Columbia pretty well. I've never been there. Peter Burns, who is one of the SEC Network anchor, and he's also on ESPN Radio, was eating with the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, who was in town for that game last weekend, and the rest of the broadcast crew, and he gets something lodged in his throat. And this goes on for a while. So he says he signaled to people at the table that he couldn't breathe. Matt Stinchcomb, who used to play for Georgia, who's on the broadcast team now, tried to do the Heimlich maneuver. That is a big guy. The restaurant owner tried to do the Heimlich maneuver. Didn't work. A nurse tried to do the Heimlich maneuver. Didn't work. But this guy, Burns, slips in. He goes, listen to the timetable here, if this is true. 2.5 minutes in. 2.5 minutes in, Burns says, I started losing everything. Vision, consciousness. I started blacking out. Somebody else, I didn't know who it was. Somebody else started trying. I felt after 2 or 3 tries, it started loosening up. It woke me up a little bit. And that was Burns, who is a Mizzou fan. He just happens to be there. He said he had Heimlich training, and he saved the guy's life. But, I mean, you hear stories like this.
Yeah.
We've even talked about some of these recently. But I think what's unique about this one, unless I'm missing the timetables, 2.5 minutes sounds like a hell of a long time to be choking on something.
Well, usually they don't have two people fail first. I mean,
Fred,
you've done it twice to one son. Is there
That's
a particular thing? I mean, it usually isn't that hard.
It wasn't. It went pretty quickly for me. I was, I guess, maybe lucky. And it was
that
really
can be scary.
But,
yeah, it's so
right,
scary.
Right, but it's happened in the Senate dining hall a couple times lately.
So the Post did this story. I like to rip on the Post, but they did a pretty good job with this one. And apparently one of the other angles of this is that the family had reservation to go elsewhere, but they had a barbecue craving for brisket, so they changed their plans. So he might not have even been there. He goes, as luck would have it, we called an audible and go to Bud's. So he saves the guy's life. I mean, hopefully someone would have stepped in if he wasn't there, but you just don't know. I mean, that seemed to be getting pretty dramatic pretty quickly. Now, the one thing I don't know about this is that if this happened before the game or after the game, that I couldn't really dial in on.
Wow.
But
I didn't know there was Heimlich training. I know there's like CPR training.
Either.
I didn't know you could go to Heimlich training.
Huh.
Sounds
I wonder,
it's important to,
to
know based on how many people I guess have done it.
Right.
But you would think that maybe there's people in certain circumstances, whether it's people
food
at
industry.
Schools or in the food. I don't know.
Have you ever had it done to you?
No.
My brother did it on me when I was a young, I think, 6-year-old maybe.
Oh, wow.
Which would have made him 12 at the time. And I guess, you know, they did babysitting training or whatever years ago.
Wow.
I guess my brother took a class on this because he was watching me and I was by myself. And I remember I was eating a gobstopper.
You do remember this?
I remember.
Okay.
I was eating a gobstopper
and
it stopped the gob.
Oh.
And I remember my brother coming in like in the kitchen because I was like, I can't, you know, he could see I couldn't breathe. He did the Heimlich and it shot right out.
Wow. Wow, that's
it did. It shot across the kitchen. I mean, it was intense.
Yeah, that would scare the hell out of me. I'm just saying, like, the only thing that's ever happened to me is, and I think this happens to everyone, is that you'll get something kind of caught in there a little bit. You'll have that panic moment. I always think I'm going to need the Heimlich maneuver, and I've never had it go for more than, I don't know, 10 seconds, but that 10 seconds is a long time when you got something lodged in your throat. But thankfully, it's never been any more serious than that. But that's just one of those crazy stories, and we do hear kind of different versions of that from time to time. Hey, I got to get into this musically because I'm very jealous, and I think I kind of forgot about this one, Alex. I'm going to have to say that I should have been maybe paying closer attention.
Yeah, you dropped the ball, I think.
Right, but I love Teddy Swims. I played Teddy Swims on some of the bumper music. He's got this silky, soft voice. Check it out here. Once this is one of the new ones called Bad Dreams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one came out.
So, do you not know Teddy Swims?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you
no.
guys know.
Best.
You'll know the music when I play it, but he's a big dude. I don't know if he weighs close to 300 pounds, but man, his voice.
Yeah, and he actually he got famous actually on YouTube for covering You're Still the One. Was originally what made him big, and this guy, I mean, like you said, the voice, it's powerful. It's powerful, it's unique, it's different, and he's just got that aura about him that, you know, he hits the chorus right here, it's great.
Oh, I love
he's
him.
He's got quite the grill. I've looked him up.
Oh, yeah, he does, for sure.
He's got the face tattoos, he's got it all going.
There's a song that I love called The Door.
The Door is great.
And that's, I'm sure he'll do that tonight at the factory, but that's Teddy Swims, so we love Teddy Swims.
Yeah, Teddy's great.
Oh, I do like that.
Right?
We'll have fun at that.
I'll be sending you pictures, videos.
I think it's been a really good musical month for... We had Steve Shankman on yesterday talking about Evolution Festival. We don't know who's going to fill in for Jane's Addiction. We had Music at the Intersection last weekend. I was out to breakfast this morning with my friends Mark and Neil Gelman from the Gelman team. We were getting together on some stuff. And Judith Anderson, who is one of our sales reps here at 97.1 and at KMOX, I've worked with Judith for years. She was at Music at the Intersection. She saw... and I was raving about Trombone Shorty last week because Shorty's spectacular, plus his guitar players from right here in St. Louis, and she saw Chaka Khan.
Oh,
and said
I love
that Chaka Khan was fantastic. She also said, who was it? Because I guess it rained down there at Music at the Intersection, and somebody just kept playing and, you know, in a driving rainstorm, which is what they do. But have fun at Teddy Swims. We'll take a break here. We're coming back with much more in the next hour. We do have, you know, this was an interesting day. The Fed decided to cut the interest rate by 50 basis points, so a bigger cut than maybe some expected. Our friend Dave Simons will explain all of that in the next hour, plus an audio cut of the day. Wednesday afternoon is kind of my Friday, though, because I'm off the next couple of days. Not to rub it in or anything like that. But I'll be back on Monday playing golf at Forest Hills tomorrow. Look, I had a listener that, you know, Alex, you've been to the break room concerts. Fred's been to a break room concert.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Who in the room has not been to a break room concert? Who would that be?
I need to go. I'm happy to go.
Well, they're fantastic. And there's another one coming up with this guy named Martin Sexton, who is one of the best in a couple of weeks. But at the Fantastic Cat event from a couple of weeks ago, John, who puts these shows on, because they're all done for charity, right? So he offered the opportunity. This sounds like maybe a punishment, Alex, you keep your mouth shut, to play golf with me at Forest Hills Country Club. And Fred Whitehouse, who is a big fan and listener, is going to play golf with me tomorrow. No promises on how many balls will be lost in the woods and also, you know, in the lakes out there. But the other thing is, you got to think about this. The Secret Service is probably out there doing a sweep already since I'm going to be there.
That's really
because
good point.
You don't know what might happen, right?
I may be secreting myself in the woodland.
Well, you get out there now, Fred. You got 12 hours.
That's right.
That is my favorite line from that news conference. And Alex, if you didn't hear it, the FBI director, whoever's up there, is talking about how the guy, because you know what happened. He's got, you know, the gun is kind of sticking out of the bushes. He secreted himself into the bushes. And Fred defined that very accurately. He was hiding in the bushes. That's basically what that means.
Secrete's an interesting word,
it's
too.
It's not a good word either,
no.
is it?
I wouldn't think it's the first word I would think of, you know, when describing something like that.
No, I do not like that. All right, I got a little quiz for the room here. This is just a random story, and I held this one back because I thought of you, Sue. I read this in the Washington Post. So if I say, because you do a little real estate work on the side, right? If I say flush mount dome light. You know what that is?
Uh-huh.
Okay, is there another term for that?
Oh, I don't. If
Fred,
there
you know
is,
what I'm talking
unaware.
About?
I don't think so.
So it's
it the light that goes in your, Like in a basement?
It's like a frosted bowl-shaped glass shade that you can kind of screw into the ceiling. It's got brushed nickel or bronze trim, and it's got the dome that looks like a nipple. So I did not know this, and the reason I bring it up is because when the Washington Post talked about this, they called it boob lights, and I'd never heard that term before.
Yeah, I think, well, I haven't heard it in official ways, but that is what they look like.
They just came straight out and just said boob lights.
Wow. They did, and they said that, you know, one of the person that's quoted in here, who's an interior designer from Virginia, says, and a realtor, too, says, it's usually the first thing my clients want to swap out when we get started on a project.
Yeah.
The boob lights have to go. They're super cheap and very generic looking. I don't deny that that's the case.
Uh-uh.
I'm just not really good at changing out lighting and stuff like that. Now, this was kind of a 90s thing, though, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I see them in some older buildings. I was in a building that was built, probably 1904, and they had boob lights.
Okay, wait. Now that I page down,
now
here,
you got Sue calling them boob lights.
Well, yeah. In this
Sue's
story,
Sue's gonna be selling a place. We got to swap out the boob lights.
Right.
They okay, say, you're right. I should not say that.
To your point, Sue, they say that this did kind of take off in the 90s, but they've been around since the late 1890s, so not the 1990s.
Because it's really a simple thing. It's just a globe, and then the nipple part is just what you screw in to keep the light bulb up. It's a very simple design.
It seems like it's like the OG, the original, the original, like, you know, decorative lighting.
Right.
I had a boob light incident the moment. I'm not even joking, man.
That just sounds so bizarre.
The moment that Princess Di died. This is weird. It's just a coincidence, right? But I had a foyer at my home in Wisconsin when I was living there many, many years ago. And I was following, I'm tracking, you know, this was, I can't remember what day it was even when that happened, like what day of the week. But as soon, it was either right when they mentioned that she died officially or, you know, right before that. The boob light was somewhat loose. I don't know what happened, but it came crashing to the ground, and it was glass, and it broke. But it was eerie, and I remember it because it happened at the moment that they announced that Princess Diana had died. And these are pretty, I think they're pretty cheap, and they say in the story here, if they're so universally disliked, why are they so ubiquitous? They're considered builder grade for a reason.
Exactly.
They're among the least expensive options on the market, and you can buy them in bulk just about anywhere. Right.
Yep.
I got a couple of light bulbs that need to be changed in the boob lights in my home. The remaining boob lights
you
that I
have. You still have these things?
You know, maybe not. Now that I think through it, Sue, I don't think I do.
Yeah.
But I do know I have light fixtures that need light bulbs. And no, wait, there is one. Here's the deal. Now that I think about it. In the closet in my master, I just said master bedroom. Can't say that.
Primary.
Right? In the primary bedroom closet and in the laundry room / pantry, yes, in fact, there are boob lights.
Well, see, there you go.
We got to get rid of them.
Alex, have fun at Teddy Swims.
Yeah, we'll do. I appreciate it.
I'm very jealous about that. Coming up after the top of the hour, I love J. Peter Zane. Peter is one of my favorites at Real Clear Investigations because he is a thinking person, and I love the kind of the angles that he attacks some of the issues. And he's gone after the New York Times and some of the media stuff in a very appropriate fashion. So we're going to get to that in the next hour. Also, this was an interesting day for the Fed. We knew it was going to come. They, I guess, feel at this point, Jay Powell, that the economy is in good enough shape to cut the rates by 50 basis points. That's a little bit more. It's a half point. It's not a quarter. And that surprised some people. Not Dave Simons, who is the host of Dollars and Cents on KMOX, because he's been talking about this for a while. He did predict, I think, that there was going to be, you know, a half point cut. What's the impact of that? It does not have, you know, a direct correlation, if you will, on mortgage rates and credit card rates, but there are indirect correlations. We'll get to that. Plus, an audio cut of the day and more in the next hour. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Wednesday afternoon is kind of my Friday, though, because I'm off the next couple of days. Not to rub it in or anything like that. But I'll be back on Monday playing golf at Forest Hills tomorrow. Look, I had a listener that, you know, Alex, you've been to the break room concerts. Fred's been to a break room
concert. Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Who in the room has not been to a break room concert? Who would that be?
I need to go. I'm happy to go.
Well, they're fantastic, and there's another one coming up with this guy named Martin Sexton, who is one of the best in a couple of weeks. But at the Fantastic Cat event from a couple of weeks ago, John, who puts these shows on, because they're all done for charity, right? So he offered the opportunity. This sounds like maybe a punishment, Alex, you keep your mouth shut, to play golf with me at Forest Hills Country Club. And Fred Whitehouse, who is a big fan and listener, is going to play golf with me tomorrow. No promises on how many balls will be lost in the woods and also, you know, in the lakes out there. But the other thing is, you got to think about this. The Secret Service is probably out there doing a sweep already since I'm going to be there.
That's really good point.
You don't know what might happen, right?
I may be secreting myself in the woodland.
Well, you get out there now, Fred. You got 12 hours.
That's right.
That is my favorite line from that news conference. And Alex, if you didn't hear it, the FBI director, whoever's up there, is talking about how the guy, because you know what happened. He's got, you know, the gun is kind of sticking out of the bushes. He secreted himself into the bushes. And Fred defined that very accurately. He was hiding in the bushes. That's basically what that means.
Secrete's an interesting word,
too. It's not a good word either, is it?
I wouldn't think it's the first word I would think of, you know, when describing something like that.
No, I do not like that. All right, I got a little quiz for the room here. This is just a random story, and I held this one back because I thought of you, Sue. I read this in the Washington Post. So if I say, because you do a little real estate work on the side, right? If I say flush mount dome light, you know what that is?
Uh-huh.
Okay, is there another term for that?
Oh, I don't. If there is, I'm unaware.
I don't think so.
So
it's the light that goes in your... Like in a basement?
It's like a frosted bowl-shaped glass shade that you can kind of screw into the ceiling. It's got brushed nickel or bronze trim, and it's got the dome that looks like a nipple. So I did not know this, and the reason I bring it up is because when the Washington Post talked about this, they called it boob lights, and I'd never heard that term before.
Yeah, I haven't heard it in official ways, but that is what they look like.
They just came straight out and just said boob lights.
Wow. They did. And they said that, you know, one of the person that's quoted in here, who's an interior designer from Virginia, says, and a realtor too, says, it's usually the first thing my clients want to swap out when we get started on a project.
Yeah.
The boob lights have to go. They're super cheap and very generic looking. I don't deny that that's the case.
Uh-uh.
I'm just not really good at changing out lighting and stuff like that. Now, this was kind of a 90s thing, though, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I see them in some older buildings. I was in a building that was built, probably 1904, and they had boob lights.
Okay, wait. Now there's a page down
now
here.
Now you got Sue calling them boob lights.
Well, yeah. In this
Sue's
story.
Sue's going to be selling a place. We got to swap out the boob lights.
Right.
You're right. I should not say that.
To your point, Sue, they say that this did kind of take off in the 90s, but they've been around since the late 80s. 1890, so not the 1990s.
Because it's really a simple thing. It's just a globe, and then the nipple part is just what you screw in to keep the light bulb up. It's a very simple design.
It seems like it's like the OG, the original, the original, like, you know, decorative lighting.
Right.
I had a boob light incident the moment. I'm not even joking, man.
So bizarre.
The moment that Princess Di died. This is weird. It's just a coincidence, right? But I had a foyer at my home in Wisconsin when I was living there many, many years ago. And I was following, I'm tracking, you know, this was, I can't remember what day it was even when that happened, like what day of the week. But as soon, it was either right when they mentioned that she died officially or, you know, right before that. The boob light was somewhat loose. I don't know what happened, but it came crashing to the ground, and it was glass. And it broke. But it was eerie, and I remember it because it happened at the moment that they announced that Princess Diana had died. And these are pretty, I think they're pretty cheap, and they say in the story here, if they're so universally disliked, why are they so ubiquitous? They're considered builder grade for a reason.
Exactly.
They're among the least expensive options on the market, and you can buy them in bulk just about anywhere, right?
Yep.
I got a couple of light bulbs that need to be changed in the boob lights in my home. The remaining boob lights
you
that I have.
You still have these things?
You know, maybe not. Now that I think through it, Sue, I don't think I do.
Yeah.
But I do know I have light fixtures that need light bulbs. And no, wait, there is one. Here's the deal. Now that I think about it. In the closet, in my master... Uh-oh, I just said master bedroom. Can't say that,
primary.
Right? In the primary bedroom closet and in the... laundry room / pantry. Yes, in fact, there are boob lights.
Well, see, there you go.
We got to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Alex, have fun at Teddy Swims.
Yeah, we'll do.
I'm very jealous about that. Coming up after the top of the hour, I love J. Peter Zane. Peter is one of my favorites at Real Clear Investigations because he is a thinking person, and I love the kind of the angles that he attacks some of the issues. And he's gone after the New York Times and some of the media stuff in a very appropriate fashion. So we're going to get to that in the next hour. Also, this was an interesting day for the Fed. We knew it was going to come. They, I guess, feel at this point, Jay Powell, that the economy is in good enough shape to cut the rates by 50 basis points. That's a little bit more. It's a half point. It's not a quarter. And that surprised some people. Not Dave Simons, who is the host of Dollars and Cents on KMOX, because he's been talking about this for a while. He did predict, I think, that there was going to be, you know, a half point cut. What's the impact of that? It does not have, you know, a direct correlation, if you will, on mortgage rates and credit card rates, but there are indirect correlations. We'll get to that. Plus, an audio cut of the day and more in the next hour. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.